Let's call upon the presence of Jesus in our midst for a moment. Let us close our eyes. You pray for me while I pray for you at this moment. Let this be a moment of God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. You are the King of Kings. You are the Almighty God. Lord, you are my Lord and Master. So today, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk to you about transfiguration. A very important event in the life of Jesus. For example, in the gospel, we hear about the baptism of Jesus, a very important event where God spoke, "This is my beloved son and I am pleased with him." Just like that, yet another important event that we are going to talk, that we are going to reflect on is transfiguration, where again God says who Jesus is. God says, "This is my beloved son." So, dear brothers and sisters, an important event in the life of Jesus. And so this event also has a relevance to our lives. Let us see today what we can learn from this important event of Jesus' life, Jesus' teaching. The first important thing we can learn today from this important event is about prayer. If you read the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, it says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John along with him high up on the mountain. But if you read the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John high up on the mountain, and something is added, to pray. So mountain indicated a place where people would go and pray and where divine revelation would take place, where God would manifest himself. Another example is of Exodus chapter 24 verse 12, where God tells Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay there." So in transfiguration also, there is a mountain. Jesus takes them up, the Gospel of Luke says, to pray. And that's where God even reveals himself. Dear friends, in the life of Jesus, prayer was absolutely important. He prayed early in the morning. He prayed late night. If Jesus, who was God, felt the need to pray and spend that time with his Father, how much should you and I, who are mortal beings, should pray to God our Father? So if Jesus prayed and that was an important part of his life, we are also reminded to have a life of prayer. But how often we make excuses? We say that, you know, we are busy. We have no time. Scripture very clearly says, if you do not recognize me today, when you come and meet me up and we face each other, I won't recognize you. Yes, I have said it in my own words, but Scripture is very clear. God is very clear. If we do not spend time with him in prayer now, he won't recognize us when we meet him face to face. A lot of people also feel distracted while praying, and this disturbs people spiritually. Let me tell you today, no distraction is bad. Every distraction is good. What you need to do is take everything that distracts you into prayer. Very often when you and I pray, our subconscious comes to the forefront and it reveals to you and to me what kind of people we are, what is going around in our lives, what has been the focus of our life. So when we sit in prayer, our subconscious comes to the forefront, revealing to us who we are, what we are going through, and this may cause a lot of distraction. What we need to do is learn to make this distraction our prayer. For example, when you are praying, suddenly you start thinking of all the hurt feelings that you have. Somebody who is against you has caused it to you. What you need to do is not get disturbed at that moment, but use that distraction and pray about it. Pray for the person who has hurt you. Pray about all the hurt feelings that you're going through. So while you pray, let distraction not be an excuse not to pray, but use that distraction and make it your prayer. How often people say, when I pray, I feel sleepy. I can't hear you right now. But how many of you over here, I can see a few of you on the screen. When you pray, you start yawning. When you pray, you fall asleep. Just put your hands up and let me see how many of you feel that way. If you're not feeling that, then you are above the apostles and the saints also. I don't know what is after the saints, what category we belong to, okay? Because even I yawn a lot when it comes to, a time of prayer. When there are times when I'm tired and I fall asleep. My dear brothers and sisters, what matters to God is our intention. So while we are praying and we fall asleep, at least be happy that you have taken that time to pray. And maybe your body is tired and you've fallen asleep. God understands it. So let sleep also not be an excuse not to pray. Let us use every opportunity that we get, however tired we are, however sleepy we are. Let's pray. Sometimes it is better to, sleep in the presence of the Lord than to come back to your home or to your bedroom and just do nothing about it. A lot of people also say, I don't know how to pray. My dear brothers and sisters, if you feel that, I don't know how to pray, sometimes you're lost, then it's a very, very divine moment. Because if you know everything and how to pray, then there is nothing left for God to work in us. So if you feel you cannot pray at that particular moment, don't get disturbed. That's the divine moment where you allow the Spirit to work, where you allow God to work in your life. Let me tell you this story. I'm sure you must have heard this story about a farmer. This farmer was not much educated, but he could read a little. Every time he went to the farm, he carried his prayer book. And whenever he got a little time, he would open that prayer book and say his prayers. One day he forgot to carry his prayer book. And he just sat idle, looking up into the sky, talking to God. And he said, God, I'm not much educated. I really don't know how to pray. I had this small book that helped me to pray. What shall I do now? Then he had an idea. He looked up again into the sky and said, God, I will do one thing. I know all the alphabets from A to Z. I will say all the alphabets from A to Z and you make a prayer for me. What do you think? Has God accepted his prayer or rejected it? What matters to God is not how much you know to pray. What matters to God is not what good vocabulary you use to pray. What matters to God is your simplicity in prayer. Simple words where you may be fumbling to pray. Simple words, not too complicated. And that's what matters to God. So don't worry so much about how to pray. What we need to worry and what matters to God is that we make that effort to sit before the Lord and pray. How often also people say, oh, my prayers are not answered. The reality is not that our prayers are not answered. The reality is God has not given to us what we want. Dear brothers and sisters, a true and a genuine prayer is, you know what? It ends with what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was in pain, he was in that emotional pain, knowing that the death was coming to him. What did he say? Take away this cup, take away this cup. But in the end, he said, Lord, Father, let not my will be done, let your will be done. This is even what Mother Mary said when Angel Gabriel came to her. Not my will be done, let your will be done. So a true and a genuine prayer is not, God, do what I want. A true and a genuine prayer is, God, this is what I want. But in the end, not my will, your will. Not my time, your time. Dear brothers and sisters, while we are talking about prayer today, we should also remember there are four levels of prayer. And if any of this is missing, your prayer life is incomplete. So the first is the personal prayer, where I am God alone. Second is the family prayer, where all of us come together and pray. The third prayer, which most of the Catholic families do not follow, is the spousal prayer, where the husband and wife, before they retire for the day, they hold each other's hand, say sorry to each other, and say, Lord, bless our union, bless our married life, bless our love life. Just about two, three statements. And the last one is a communitarian prayer, where we come together as a community to pray. The Eucharist, the prayer services, the retreats, etc., etc. So my dear brothers and sisters, four levels of prayer: personal, family, spousal, and a communitarian prayer. So the most important lesson that we learn from the event of transfiguration is about a life of prayer. Let us not make it an excuse. If you need oxygen to breathe for your spiritual life, your oxygen is prayer. My dear brothers and sisters, just as a vehicle needs some fuel, maybe a petrol or a diesel, to work, to function better, for our spiritual life to move ahead, to function, that fuel, that petrol, that diesel is prayer. Without which, our life is simply a junk. It has no value. So the first thing that we learn is prayer. Now let's go to the second point, the second learning from this event called Transfiguration. The second learning is about listening. Very sadly, today we listen to everybody. We listen to the world, we listen to individuals in our life, but we are not listening to God. We are not listening to what the Bible has to say, and we are not listening to what the church has to say. We do everything in our life. We pray, we spend time in worship, we spend time in loving God and others, we do a lot of charity, but in our Christian life, in our prayer life, what we are missing today is we are not spending enough time in listening to what God has to say. If you read the passage from Matthew or from Mark or from Luke, Peter immediately says, Jesus, let me make a tent for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter wants to treat all of them equally. Jesus, Moses, Elijah. And immediately the cloud is formed and God speaks to them and says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And then everyone disappears and only person who is left with them is Jesus. So first a priority has to be Jesus. We cannot substitute Jesus. Moses indicates one who gave law, Elijah indicates one who was a prophet. So God wants to say he's above all laws and above all prophets. So in your and my life also, we are called first to listen to Jesus. Everything in our life will fall apart if we do not spend this time listening to him. Very often people say, no, nothing much is spoken about Mary in the Bible. Very little. Why? Because the moment Jesus comes in the picture, Mary takes a back seat. It's all about Jesus. So in your and my life, we may have a lot of people whom we listen to. We have the world who talks to us. But we have to spend this time also listening to Jesus. I want to tell you a short testimony and a story of a priest I heard long ago. This priest was working in a very remote village. And he was doing good for the village. His family sold the property that they had and gave their share also to the priest. And what did the priest do? He used all the money that he got as his share for the good of this village. He did everything that he can do for the village. But once the villagers turned against him, and this broke him completely, he started wondering, I'm doing good for these people. What have I done wrong for these people to go against me? And at that time, he says, one old man came to him and said, Father, you are doing a good job, but ask yourself, are you doing your will or are you doing God's will? He did not understand at that moment what the old man had to say. He was now contemplating suicide because the whole village had got against him. One priest suggested to him to go for a retreat, so he went for a retreat. First day, second day, nothing happened. Third day, nothing happened. But just before he could leave the retreat preacher, another priest came to him and said, Father, stay back, I want to talk to you. And when the priest started praying with this priest who was going through depression and had suicidal tendencies, he had a vision. This priest who was disturbed had a vision. What was the vision? In the vision, he saw the whole village in ruin. Whatever he had done was all destroyed. He goes through the entire village and suddenly on a small piece of rock, he sees Jesus sitting. And the moment he sees Jesus sitting, he goes to him and lies down on the lap of Jesus. And at that time in the vision, he hears Jesus tells him, Son, where were you? I was longing for this day that you would come and sit with me. And that is the time this priest realized that in his life he did good, but that was not God's will. God's will was that he should spend that time, some time at least, in prayer, listening to him. And the priest testifies in the end that after that his life changed. Now he spends about 2 hours in the presence of the Lord. So my dear brothers and sisters, we may pray with a lot of words, but we also need to spend time in silence, just listening to God. This brings now me to the third point. The third point about transfiguration.
I just asked Father for the link and I put it in my catechism group.
There is someone talking. Okay. So there is the third point that I come to, and the third point is about glory. What did they see? His face shining, his clothes shining, dazzling white, all indicating his glorification. But immediately Jesus tells Peter, James, and John when they're coming down, do not tell anyone about this. Why does Jesus tell them, don't tell anyone about this? Because if they would have gone and told everybody, oh, we saw Jesus, we saw this, they would have got half picture of Jesus. What was the half picture of Jesus? His glorification. What would complete his picture? His suffering. So though transfiguration talks about glorification, that glorification would have been incomplete if there was no suffering. And therefore, Jesus tells them, don't go and say, because it will be half knowledge. The full knowledge is complete when Jesus suffers, and then they see actually Jesus in his glory, the resurrection. And Jesus precisely did this transfiguration because he knew that they were not understanding that he had to die and rise again. And when actually he will suffer, he thought this will give them hope and courage. So transfiguration tells us, you and me, that we will be glorified, but this glorification is incomplete if we do not suffer. So suffering is an important part of life. Now the question is suffering good? Yes. Because the moment we suffer, we realize we are weak, first. The moment we realize we are weak, second, we depend on God. And the moment we depend on God, third, God's power is manifested through us. And that's why St. Paul says, it is when I'm weak that I'm strong. Because when I'm weak, God's power is manifested through me. If I'm weak, I'm empty. And there is a lot of space for God to work through my life. So suffering is good for three reasons. We feel weak, we depend, and God's power is manifested. Suffering has threefold benefits. Suffering is good because God is glorified. Suffering is good because we undergo purification and we become better Christians. Suffering is good because through our suffering, we can bring salvation, we can save another soul. I'll give you an example for this. First example is Jesus. When he suffered and died, he brought glory to his Father. Because he suffered and died, he experienced resurrection. And because he suffered and died, we are saved today. So every suffering that we go through, like Jesus, has threefold benefits. God is glorified, we are purified, and others are helped. Let me give you a testimony of a mother who lost her only son, 17-year-old boy, in sleep. No ailment. It's a rare form of a disease which comes when a person is sleeping and it seems takes away the person without the knowledge of anybody, not even the person who has died. And this disturbed the mother. For 6 months, she did not go to the church. She did not pray. She was a very devout Catholic. After 6 months, a priest came to her house and persuaded her to go for a retreat. And on the day of the inner healing, when everyone was praying, this mother had a vision. What was the vision? On one hand, she saw Jesus. And just beside Jesus, she saw her son, both of them coming towards her. And the son tells his mother in that vision, "Mother, why are you crying? Why are you upset? Don't you see I'm with Jesus? I'm happy. So please don't cry. Your son is happy." And at that time, the mother cried out aloud. She just screamed out and said, "Jesus, I'm sorry for having been upset with you. Because today, what I see, what you have given my son, is something that I could not give and earn for my son." The mother said, "Jesus, you have given my son heaven today. As a mother, I would have not been able to earn heaven for my son." And her life changed after that. What does she do today? Everywhere she goes to give a testimony, she brings glory to God. I want to ask you today, was she a better Catholic then, or she's a better Catholic now after what she has gone through? And you will agree with me, today she's a better Catholic because she's bringing glory to God through her suffering. She has purified her soul and become a better Catholic. And today, how she's helping others, she's going about and helping all those mothers and fathers who have lost their children at a very early age. It's only if we suffer, we can feel, empathize, and help others who are suffering. We all want to go to heaven, right? The gateway to heaven is a cross, is a suffering. And therefore, Jesus said, "You want to follow me, not only here on earth, you want to follow me in paradise? Then it's only through cross." You want to be a diamond in your life? Then you will be chiseled and sharpened. You want to be a gold in the eyes of God? Then you will have to go through the fire. But while you are suffering, don't worry. You will not be alone. When you are suffering, like Moses and Elijah, there will also be some angels sent to you. When Jesus walked up to Calvary, he was not alone. Simon of Cyrene came to give him some relief. Veronica came to wipe his sweaty, bloodied face. So my dear brothers and sisters, suffering is good and we will never be alone. God will walk with us and he will send angels at the right time to assist us and to walk through that dark tunnel in our life, to walk through that Calvary. And I come now to the, I know it's only 2 minutes left. I come to the last part, the fourth point, what we can learn from this event of transfiguration. It's about radiating light. What was Jesus radiating? A shining, dazzling light. You and I are called to radiate light. What it means to radiate light? It simply means to become Jesus in our life. To become Jesus in our life, we need three things. One is love. Second is forgiving. We have to forgive people. And the third one is serve people. When we love, when we forgive, and when we serve people, we become Jesus and we radiate life. Let's talk about love. Recently in my parish, I had this young boy, very disturbed, come to me. And I asked him, what are you disturbed? And he said, Father, I lost my dada. I said, you look very disturbed. You look very upset. And he said, yes, my father was like God to me. I said, why? He said he did everything to me. And you know, this boy, he loved his father so much that for 4 years that his father suffered with cancer, for 4 years, this boy left his job, left everything and served his father. When I looked at this boy, I knew that his love for God was true. Because if our love for God is true, then for our love for our own will also be true and genuine. To become Jesus, we are called to forgive. Once a priest was celebrating a prayer service which was disturbed by a person of other faith. And immediately there was a chaos. A police complaint was made. The police found the boy. He was a very young boy, 17-year-old boy of other faith who came in the church to disturb the prayer service. And the police inspector called the priest and said, Father, you are the parish priest. This is the boy who has disturbed your prayer service and created confusion and could have created communal fights. What do you expect of me? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to make a case on him? Or what is in your mind? And the priest just looked at the police and said, you know, let him go with a warning. Just warn him, he should not do it and let him go. Immediately the police stood up and said, Father, this can happen only in Christianity. This can happen only in Christianity. You want to radiate light. You want to tell people who Jesus is. You want to tell people you are a Christian. It is not only by loving God and others, but it is also through forgiveness. And the last one, you want to radiate Christ. It is through service. This is a small testimony of a person from Tamil Nadu. He was getting a new job as a chef abroad, loads of money. And so one day he went shopping abroad because he was leaving for his new job. But that day, when he had gone for shopping and he was returning, he saw a beggar trying and searching food where there was a dustbin kept. And he was shocked. It will be a little crude what I'm telling you, but this is the truth. He actually saw the beggar eating the excreta, human waste. And it left him so disturbed that day he decided, what is the use of this job as a chef where I will cook for people and I will earn money and I'm not doing anything for this poor. So what did he decide from that day? He said he will not go abroad, but he will stay in his village and he will feed every poor he meets. And today he's a chef for God. He reaches out to everybody who is starving, who is hungry, and feeds them. So my dear brothers and sisters, transfiguration tells you and me to live a life of prayer. It reminds me to spend time listening to Jesus. It reminds me, yes, there is resurrection, there is glorification, but all this is incomplete without suffering and carrying a cross. And last, it reminds you and me to radiate light, to become Jesus through love, through forgiveness, and through service. With this, I wish you all the very best. God bless you for your patient listening. I know it's not very easy because we are all on the screen. It's not very personal, but I could see a lot of you looking at me, and that gave me, you know, a little confidence to go on. Otherwise, it becomes yet another drama for us. You know, it's like recording and all. But thank you so much for looking at my face, and I could see that you're attentive. Derek, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity. Thank you for all that you do for the good Lord. And I'm sure the Lord is blessing you and through you many more people. I feel blessed today. Please pray for me. Pray for my family, especially my mother. And I assure you all of my prayers. God bless you and good night. Take care of yourself. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen. Amen.